Blog Talk Radio.
Subject here. I'm going to keep talking about this weekly, maybe bi-weekly. This is dealing with the Family Medical Leave Act and how it can get you fired. Basically, there's a lot of truth to that. But I got my co-host for this show on the line. Kenny, are you there? Ken? Line's open. We're going to have a thorough discussion dealing with a lot of violations to the Family Medical Leave Act and how we've been victims and experienced these violations. Things just to go ahead and to hold you back, to pretty much let you go, get you fired. And there are several reasons why these people doing what they did, to go ahead and discipline you or fire you. We're going to try and jump into it. Let me see if I can get him in again. Ken, are you there? Hello? Line's open. Oh, my goodness. Okay, and can I come back? Hopefully. But anyway, like the last segment of my show, I was trying to discuss family and medical leave violations. And I want to try to get some updates also. But, oh, yeah, here he is again. Here he is. Let me see if it works this time. He's not coming in. Come on.
Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, man. You're a little bit low. I heard you rattling papers and stuff. How you doing today?
All right. I called you earlier, but I guess I must have called. You weren't in there yet.
It was taking some time. You know what? There's a whole lot of ground to cover here, Ken. You know what I mean?
Let's start covering it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I invited a lot of people. I actually sent out some invitations to some lots of attorneys. And I'm going to start there. I'm going to keep sending them out to them. But next I'm going to be sending a lot of invitations out to congressional people and some of these people in the Department of Justice. So I want them to hear some of the show, so we got to kind of keep it clean, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Ken, tell me a little bit about what you do. Tell us about a little bit about what you do and who you belong to, the No Harassment Foundation. Tell my audience
Me and another sister by the name of Anita Hatcher belong to the No Harassment Foundation, which was founded maybe about 2000, I say. It was basically formed because of the adverse actions by management that we was experiencing, and from management, you know, as far as being treated unfairly when it comes to not just FMLA, but also discipline, also OWCP.
What is OWCP?
OWCP is workman's comp. You get injured on the job. And,
right.
We was getting cases where it was basically racially profiling the black employees under the same or similar circumstances as white employees, where they would approve, you know, a white employee OWCP under the same or similar circumstances and deny that black employee the same thing. Same thing with FMLA. Basically, what they're doing is just racially profiling black employees, finding any and everything to deny the FMLA. They basically been coming up with their own rules and regulations that's not in the FMLA laws and regulations. They come up with their own laws and regulations. You know.
When you say racial profiling, what do you mean exactly about that?
When I say racially profiling, I have to be specific when dealing with EEO, because when you do an EEO case, if you say it's racial discrimination, what they would do after you file it, you know, an EEO, they would go find maybe like one white employee and do the same thing to them, and basically just say, okay, it's a white employee we did this to, so we dismissing the case. So excuse me. So basically, what I had to do was start doing the numbers, and I found out that the ratio, you know, for every white employee that might be denied, you know, you might find 10 black employees that was denied. That's what I say about racial profiling. Racial profiling just doesn't exist in the police department. It exists inside the federal government. And the reason why it exists inside the federal government, because especially the Postal Service, because the Postal Service is the biggest employer of black employees in the nation. So,
you know, I saw this stat earlier where they had 50,000. You're a mail handler, right?
Yes, I'm a mail
handler. I saw that they had 50,000 mail handlers across the nation. That's wild. So I wanted to know that give me that percentage again. I mean, you go ahead and it's like 10-1, the ratio.
It might be higher than that. You know, basically when we do these cases and stuff, you know, just word of mouth. You go into discovery or something like that. You know, they refuse to give up their information as far as the statistics because they claim, as far as FMLA, they claim they do, as far as our region, basically they claim they do 5,000 cases a year. So I wanted that, you know, that information. They call them FMLA data sheets. And the FMLA data sheets are the sheets that show who is the employee, was they approved or disapproved for FMLA, you know, and the reason why they was approved or not approved. And basically what they're doing, they was initially saying that they had got an incomplete form, which basically they were sending employees back to the doctor for the same FMLA certification, which was pretty much the rules and regulations.
Ken, real quick, explain to me what the FMLA data sheets are. What kind of information is that?
It's basically like a sheet that tells who the employee is, and it's got categories 1, 2, and I think if you are 1, you disapprove, or you're 2, you approve. It could be reversed. I don't have a sheet in front of my face right now, but it tells, you know, why you was disapproved. Could have been most of the sheets is like incomplete FMLA forms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Them data sheets can go ahead and show you who's getting what and what's going on.
Right, but they won't give up all the data sheets because.
How do you get the data sheets? How could you get more data sheets?
I basically got the data sheets because compared to employees' information, when I went into discovery, they had, you know, put those in the investigative files, but they only give you, you know, the post office or management are only going to give you the forms that make them look like they're not racially profiling. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they only gave me, say, for instance, I had like 70 estimated dollar sheet forms, and about out of that 70, maybe you might see could be five white employees that was disapproved as compared to the black employees. So that's your ratio right there. So if they only gave me those five, only gave me 65 of the black employees, you know it's way more than that. For, you know,
right.
especially for the northern region, you know it's way more than that. But if I had all the data, you know, FMA data sheets, I can prove, you know, conclusively, without a shadow of a doubt, that they racially profiling, which we've been filing these charges since 2000. You know, for
the data sheet seems like it has a lot of information and ammunition, so you can go ahead and proceed and have a stronger case. So would going ahead and going before a judge to go ahead and get those data sheets, would that help a little bit more?
Well, you basically have to give it a discovery. You know, then or try the Freedom of Information Act. But the post office, they so arrogant, you know, they would just deny you, you know, because they don't care. You know, a perfect example of how arrogant the post office is. They rather waste money to deny a black employee something that's due him. Excuse me. Just because he's black.
What do you mean by waste money?
What I mean is we got one case we're working on right now. I can't say the employee name. Excuse me. I got like a little tingle in my throat trying to get past it. this employee, we got into discovery, we supposed to have a conference call with the judge, which we did. And what it was that they had did something that they didn't suppose to have did. The man called in for some paid leave. And 5 months later, out of retaliation, because he had filed a grievance on a certain supervisor, they went back 5 months, disapproved the man's leave, and sent him an indefinite form, where they were taking money out of his check, and they AWOL'd him for the leave they had approved 5 months prior, which, that's some illegal stuff. So, we got into discovery, and, so Anita Hatcher, my partner, she was the one talking to the judge, and she said that it makes economic sense for him, to pay this man his $800 that he requested. And the judge even said to herself, the man had documentation, that the supervisor even said he had documentation, so she supposed to have paid him the money. But now, whether she scheduled or unscheduled, that's another thing. But she supposed to have paid him his money, excuse me, and then take his money back, which they did. So the judge say, Ms. Hatcher has stated to the judge, okay, Your Honor, why go through the post office paying $10,000? Well, they got to do is just pay this man his $800, which he's rightfully entitled to. And the guy that was representing the post office said, we're not paying him nothing. Yes, we'd rather pay the $10,000 and be wrong in the end and still have to pay this man his $800 and waste $10,000 and not pay this man his $800 that, that's really due him.
What do you mean paying the $10,000? Where was that $10,000? What, to go to court and all that other stuff for the lawyer?
It's going to cost them about $10,000, to go through this whole discovery, process, because I heard every time they had to go to court, you have to, put a retainer down for $10,000 for a lawyer to go, to take them to court. So it's going to cost that much,
The post office puts up that $10,000 for their attorney.
When they go to court, they get real. Now they have paralegals working for them. When you into a discovery and stuff like that. But when they actually have to go to court to go to a hearing, they have to get a real lawyer. That's a $10,000 retainer fee.
Wait. The legal department doesn't have real attorneys. Those are all paralegals.
Well, they got real attorneys when they go to hearings, but I'm talking about as far as gathering the information, they use paralegals, as far as putting together investigative file or, doing responses, interrogatory responses or something like that. They use paralegals. When they have to go to court, they use a real attorney then. Even though, the real attorney might talk on the phone, but they got paralegals doing the legwork.
I don't want to veer off topic here, but it just seems like that's more government waste and abuse, and one reason that they're in the red is because of the legal situation. I know
that
going ahead.
Why they're in the red is because of the, like I said, it's a racist attitude toward black employees, especially at Palatine PD&C. I can't tell you how racist and the environment working in Palatine PDC is one of it's a volatile environment. It's an environment that that you won't want to work in, because right now we're handling the case right now where we had some hangman nooses put up by some particular hate group that's within Palatine PDC, in which we have been alleging was a hate group for the last 4 or 5 years. So finally they reared their ugly head and put hangman nooses up. And then, we called some management officials, they were asked questions about the nooses and their responses to an EO official was the head guy calling a lie, you know, to try to cover up the fact that they had these hangman nooses at Palatine PEC.
So it's already a stressful environment that you're working under.
It's very stressful. You know,
so
very stressful.
Examples of reasons why they would go ahead and, not approve your family medical leave, which leads to your firing. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Listen, I'm trying to stress this. I've been stressing it for the last 7 years. I cannot re-stress it enough. When dealing with the family medical leave issue, this is an issue for the Justice Department, because I can't tell you enough that they are racially profiling black employees when it comes to FMLA, OWCP. I didn't handle the cases, you know. I didn't handle the cases. I know. I had, you know, one sister that, you know, they gave her removal. She had a son that had autism. He had, by matter of fact, he had so many different disabilities, it was ridiculous. And her doctor wrote out the FMLA form, you know, she came back. But the coordinators who were really getting a policy from above, it's a policy, racial profile, that's pointed at, you know, the black employees, you know. It's a policy that comes up from above, not just the coordinator. The coordinator is just following their orders and to stick to that policy. So when you deal with that FMLA, as far as the racial profiling coming from upper management, that's their policy. And it just, trickle down to the coordinators, and, you know, they're doing their thing as far as to uphold the end of that racial profiling. But getting back to the story at hand, so she get a doctor to fill out the forms for her son, who got like multiple disabilities, maybe about six or seven different disabilities, where he had to take all of these different type of treatments, and so he has to have that that FMLA. And
but that was stressful on her also, so she would also be eligible
on that. So what they did was, coordinator kept disapproving it, her doctor tried to figure out why she can't keep disapproving, you know, this woman's child's FMLA. So basically what happened was that she filed the EEO, and that's when the retaliation comes in. By her filing the EEO, you know, certain management officials started harassing her, and what happened was that, you know, they gave her a letter of removal. You know, because she had took off for her son because of his ailment, because she didn't get it, because the coordinator didn't approve it. Now the days that she had took off for FMLA for her son, now they charge those days against her and try to use it as discipline to give her removal. You understand what I'm saying? So basically, that's where we stepped in at. Okay, so we filed the EEO, and basically we had like prior cases showing that they was doing the same thing to other black employees in the past as far as racial profiling. And so we was able to get the removal out of making a long story short.
You know what, Ken, let me take a break so you can go ahead and take care of that little thing you got going, okay?
All right.
Go ahead and get you a glass of water or something, and we'll come back in about 10 minutes. About 2 minutes, okay?
All right.
Record sales down, gas prices up, no more love for your life, no more life for your love, change is long overdue, something gotta give.
You can trot around the planet or watch it on the news. Somebody's getting shot, the weatherman's looking confused. He's reporting to a nation full of zombies, strung out on Starbucks and stitched up and bitching Amber Crombie. Don't get it mixed up, me too, I have insomnia. At times, but don't be walking around here blind, feeling all around, trying to find a righteous path. It's appealing when I rhyme, so every time I hit the masses, you know, the common folk, blue collar, day-to-day workers that squeeze a dollar so they maybe can swallow a little, not a lot of, just enough to fill that bottle. But it's $1 million a gallon for some gas to get to work tomorrow. That's if you got a gig and can't swim in carpool. You rob Peter to pay Paul to make do, make you wanna write a note and take a pistol to that bank too, then pass it to the teller. But you you know better. Debate about who's the greatest MC. Subject matter don't matter because the verse is empty. No food for thought, nothing for the brain to digest. So I guess it'd be a bat who can rap, talk the best. But I give them light and like the traffic I direct, inspiring their life like they was actors on my set. As if I was a pilot, take them higher than the dream. I'd be a liar if I wasn't sick and tired of this mess.
They're trying to tell us to stay strong, but every day we're losing jobs.
Out of Illinois, and I'd like you to continue with what you were talking about with the lady. Can you there?
I'm here.
I'd like you to continue with the lady who had the problems with her kid. You know, I was just thinking, you know, even though she was going through all of those changes and with her kid, that's stressful on her. So shouldn't she, like, need some psychological help? Wouldn't that be enough to go ahead and approve some family medical leave for her for that?
Yeah, she had issues too. Well, they had disapproved her FMLA because she did have a son was stressing out, so she was breaking down mentally and physically just dealing with him and his disabilities. But by them denying her FMLA for her son and her, that really was bringing her down. So
I could imagine. I went and found a list of some comments. The most common violations, and it was one is says that the FMLA was not filed let me read it. It says withdrawal, denial, or not currently approved of family medical leave because of untimeliness, when the family medical leave specifically stipulates that the issue of timeliness should be based on circumstances. Do you get what that means?
Yeah, if they send you back to the doctor So what they do is, with the black employees, they just keep sending them back to the doctor time and time again for the same certification. And pretty much these black employees get frustrated, so they just, you know, they don't comply. You know, with the last time, they pulled the, she sent you back third time, and she wants you to come back and get that certification back within, I'm just giving them like 10 days or whatever. You don't, so you just frustrated, so you don't do it. So it's marked down as untimely.
Let me read another one for you. And this one, this says the family medical leave, let me see, denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved family medical leave for not abiding to suspense dates that are unusually under the circumstances. Although this is also an issue of timeliness, there is no stipulation in the family medical leave for suspense dates for different actions. This is a question of reasonability and what is not given the circumstances. Do you get what that means?
Run that past me one more time.
Okay, let me try to read it without going ahead and interrupting it. It says denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved family medical leave for the abiding to suspense dates that are not unreasonable under the circumstances. Although this is also an issue of untimeliness, there is no stipulation in the family medical leave for a suspense date for different actions. This is a question of what is reasonable and what is not, given the circumstances.
So basically what they're saying is that, you know, everybody got a different circumstance, so they really, you know, shouldn't be able to deny patients or somebody's FMLA by saying it's untimely if the you know, the circumstances dictate the time frame. That's what it's saying to me.
Really? How many people have you had the representative was going through something like that?
Just me, all of them. Just about all, either, I told you, it's either that one or they get them for incomplete form.
Incomplete forms. I got like a list of them, maybe like 25 of these violations. It says like common family medical leave violations. Let me read this next one to you. It says denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved family medical leave recertification when initiated by the employee when they are not incapacitated or receiving active treatment from a doctor. An example to give, continue office visits for treatment, et cetera. The family medical leave distinctly states that the concept of continued treatment includes but is not limited to prescribed medications and supportive devices like an oxygen machine.
Mm-hmm.
So explain that one to me.
Well, sometimes they try to, the same lady, basically I'm talking about disapproval. Sister had a disability, her son had a disability after I went certification. It was one case where this other sister tried to get FMLA, and she tried to use a rule and regulation and said that, you know, the doctor had prescribed her over-the-counter medication. She said since it was over-the-counter, it wasn't prescribed from the doctor.
Wait, the doctor told her to get that medication?
Yeah, doctor prescribed over-the-counter medication.
So that's prescribed, right? When a doctor tells you that's a prescription, isn't it? Even
the doctor
tell
you turned the script around and said that since, you know, it wasn't, since it was over the counter medication, her FMLA was disapproved.
The counter, but the doctor told you that's what you should take.
Yep. But what I'm saying is they try to make their own rules and regulations. They try to go in between the rules and regulations and come up with something that they feel they can use to deny you. I'll give you another perfect example. Now, not just me, but other employees had FMLA, you know, where, you know, say, for instance, if you had a condition, if it flared up, if it's a chronic condition, you would leave, you know, it also work 2 hours or 4 hours. So it's been going on for years. So what they came up with.
The next one I got here, I think y'all want to read the next one to you, man. I think this one says denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved for family medical leave because management determines that a medical condition is not a serious health condition when they are not qualified to make such a determination. Even if the employer's health representative made such a determination, there is no provision for such a determination unless it is part of a third-party opinion. An employer's health representative cannot act on behalf of the employer in a second opinion. You get what that say?
Well, basically, the new rules state that, first of all, she don't supposed to be handling any sensitive information that involves a diagnosis or a prognosis. Now, many that supposed to go straight to the medical unit and the postal doctor supposed to handle this. But since they have
Hold it. It's supposed to go to the doctor. It's supposed to go to the doctor. That should have been in place. That wording should have been in place a long time ago, don't you think? I mean, they should at least go ahead and recognize that. That sounds like, to me, it's more like common sense. You know, if you haven't been to medical school, you haven't had any medical training, why are you going ahead and looking at what people's medical conditions are? You know, because there's some people there's some people are HIV positive or have hepatitis this and that or have other ailments that they may not want to expose to the public, let everybody know about. And so this person it's like a security clearance. You need to go through the process to go ahead and get that clearance. And to me, these individuals, the coordinator is not going through that process. You understand what I'm saying?
What authorized
her to go ahead and do that? Well, that was all upper management, right?
Yeah, but see, the thing is this, Rob. It's a protocol that's supposed to be followed. All these FMLA certifications, when they involve diagnosis and prognosis, are supposed to go to the medical unit, and the doctor's supposed to deal with it. But this is what's going on since that the emphasis has been put on to deny most of the black employees this FMLA. The doctor don't want to get involved in these EEOs by denying them. So he didn't clean his hand of this thing, especially around in Palatine PDC. So they put that on the coordinator. You see what I'm saying?
So has any doctors been involved in the cases that you've been involved with? Any of the doctors ever been involved in those cases? Have you ever seen any postal doctors involved with those cases?
Let me put it this way, Rob. Okay, now they told me they handle 5,000 cases a year. Okay, I'm going to give you a perfect scenario. All right. Now, if, for instance, you go to the doctor, if you got those three things that you need, that when the incident occurred, you know, you got the frequency, and, you know, you got the stating the medical facts, those three things, okay, that's what you need. All right, anything other than that is a clarification problem. Say, for instance, like, you go to the doctor, he fill out your color for, you know, your FMLA form and bring it back, got those three things. If your coordinator tells you now it's incomplete and send you back to the doctor, that's an error because it's a rule that states the CFR is on the, I think, 825, I don't know the specific regulation by number, but it states that if there is a clarification problem, that the postal service, medical doctor has to send the employee a form, authorization form, for him to sign for that postal doctor to make contact with the employees.
How many times did they send out that form?
They had never sent the form out. They only sent the form out one time, Rob. I'm going to tell you why. The same, they sent the form out when the sister I was telling you about, whose son had all those impairments and disabilities. I challenged them and said that, you know, you had sent this woman back to the doctor like 10, 15 times. The coordinator did. And I said that she was in violation of that rule. And
right.
All of a sudden, out the blue, since I've been here, if they handle 5,000 cases a year, I've been doing this since 2000. So for the Northern District, 5,000, that's 50,000 cases, almost 45,000 cases.
Right.
So when I challenged the rule, this is the first time I ever seen that particular authorization form from the postal medical doctor to the employee to get authorization to talk to her doctor to clear up the clarification problem. out of
you've never actually
houses.
This was the first time you've actually just seen the actual form?
That's the first time I ever saw the actual form. And that's how I knew that the rule had to be true because they
how long
the
you have you been taking care of these cases? How long you been doing this?
Since 2000.
And you've only
I have never seen the form, but I started when I found out about the rule and regulation was 5 years ago. That's when I started challenging them on that rule and regulation. And so if anybody out there been sent to the doctor to get an FMLA more than once by their coordinator and was disapproved, they can file disability discrimination because they violated that specific rule and regulation.
A lot of us don't know that. A lot of us don't know that, Ken. But that's why I'm doing this show, so we can go ahead and get a lot of people educated. We're going to go ahead and pick this up. Because
I got the sister FMLA approved because they didn't want to deal with that issue. Because they know they had violated.
Oh, she finally got approved? Her stuff totally approved?
Oh, yeah. I actually did the EO. You know, we hit them with that information. They approved them. You know, they approved the gave, you know, gave her stuff back. But she, all the stuff she had to go through, but, you know, with the union, you know, I don't want to get into the union thing, but, you know, a lot of times, you know.
Getting that. Because that's what's bugging me is that, aren't they, you're paying dues to protect, that's what to go ahead and sit in and protect you. You actually, Ken, you should be sitting on your butt. They shouldn't be going ahead and doing, I mean, you shouldn't be doing this. They should be going ahead and taking care of this. Are you getting paid from this, Ken?
No, I'm not getting paid.
The people that are getting paid are not doing their job.
If you want to look at it that way, you know, every time we get into EEO, they always ask me, well, how are you in file agreements? I tell them all the time, if our union was doing something, I wouldn't be doing these EEOs.
Okay, we're gonna sidetrack for a minute. They're not doing their job. You doing their job, and then they question you why you doing what you doing. You don't see that's a big problem. I mean, I see that's a major issue. I don't understand why they want to come back at you and go ahead and question you why what you doing what you doing. And what's the purpose of them not going ahead, the unions, not going ahead and standing up and doing their job? Have they ever took anyone to court, the unions?
I can't believe they have took anyone to court. But, you know.
Have they ever gone before a judge about anything they'd ever done? I mean, in representing.
I don't call our union the union. I call our union management, you know. I call them.
The junior management team.
Basically, that's what you're looking at here.
Junior management. Let me read off another one to you, Ken. Let me read off another one. I got another one for you because I got a bunch of them. I found another one. This one says denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved family medical leave recertification, even though the management requested such certification, the denial is without just cause. Have you experienced that?
I'll run that past me one more time.
This one says, again, this is number 5. I wish you was in the chat room so I can go ahead and post the link. I'll put the link in the chat for anybody that's there. But it said denial, withdrawal, or not currently approved for family medical leave recertifications, even though management requested such certification, the denial is without just cause. You get what that means?
Are you trying to tell me that the management requested the certification, the person, when they got the certification, they still disapproved them?
I think that's what they're saying.
That's what I'm getting from it, that you're saying, that they requested certification, they got the certification, they still disapproved. And that happened all the time. That's no big thing.
That's no big thing.
That ain't no big thing. That happened all the time.
That's a common occurrence.
You know, that's a common occurrence.
Oh, my goodness.
With black employees. Let me put it that way. Let me clear that up.
With black
employees, that's a common occurrence.
So when they put it, okay. Because knowing what I know about the post office, it's there are a lot of blacks there. The racial makeup there is not, okay, in this area. I know it's not equal to what whites are, but it's close to, in some areas, it's more than that. So how do they really justify that? You know, explain to me how you feel they really justify going ahead and denying black employees that protection under family medical leave.
Let me explain this to you. Got a case right now going, which we live in. There's been a hate group operating within Palatine PDC. I didn't know how big it was until just now. So we got a complaint going right now with allegations stating that.
Can you identify any of the individuals?
Well, let me put it this way. You know, they all in key positions. They're sitting in, like, the stations at the head of human resources. They're in key positions, like, that was the plant manager that was there. And, you know, key positions, and even the EEO, they self key positions, you know, some individuals in the union. And basically what's happening is this. This is how this thing is working. Because I've been studying the pattern by, you know, doing all these cases. I can prove my case, no problem. Just by the number of employees, black employees, that was treated so, indifferently, adversely as compared to, white employees under the same or similar circumstances. But what we come to find out is that we have a hate group of white individuals in key power positions within all the agencies I just previously named that are working in collusion to adversely affect black employees in the same or similar circumstances as that white employee. I'll give a key example of what they would do. By them controlling the union in all aspects of the union, I'm talking about you got your, the labor board, your step two, your step three, and basically what happened is the cases were bared out that, say, for instance, like 9 out of 10 times, you'll get a case where, say, since you take a white employee and a black employee, if the black employee do the same exact thing as that white employee, 9 out of 10 times, the black employee, he filed a grievance. Basically, what's going to happen here is he's going to have to go to arbitration. If this is something real egregious, he's going to have to go to arbitration. And 9 out of 10 times, he's going to lose. Now, 9 out of 10 times, that white employee case is going to get resolved.
I need, similar cases?
Arbitration.
Are they, similar cases?
Could be the same case. It's going to get resolved. He won't have to go to arbitration. Now, if he do have to go to arbitration 9 out of 10 times, he's going to win his arbitration. So, basically, what they're doing is operating, these white management officials are operating in collusion in these different agencies to target black employees, to treat them adversely different. I'll give you a perfect example. Well, you know who this employee is. I don't want to put their name out, but... A white employee, female employee, she's been intoxicated 2,000 times. I don't know how many times, management knew about it. You know, it's like an everyday occurrence and stuff. Outside on the clock, intoxicated, getting paid, come back in the building drunk. What they would do was tell a supervisor to fill out 3971 and send her home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a situation where a black employee, because intoxication on the clock calls for automatic termination,
Right.
What they did with her, by her being involved in a comparative employee in another employee's EEO case, what they was doing was they wasn't putting the discipline on her file. They claimed they gave her like a 14-day before this was another, where her file was clean.
Mm.
When white employees get disciplined, they don't really get disciplined. You know, we led to believe they're getting disciplined, but it's not on their file. So basically what's happening is black employees in the same similar circumstances, they get put out. They have to do, file an EEO to fight their way back in. And if they don't file it, if they miss that EEO timeline, they just out of luck. So if the union handle it, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to go to arbitration, they're going to rule against them, And so that's what black employees, especially in the Palatine PVC is facing. We're facing a racist, unjust system ran by white individuals, who's just very, very biased toward black employees. It's just in them.
So something's come up. What about people that come there and they already have a condition already and they know about it? What do they do to those employees?
Well, I know that, you still got to get your, recertify every, some people every year, some people every 6 months, and it's up to them to approve or disapprove what they do. It depends on who you is. If you're black, you're going to have some problems. I guarantee you that. If you're white, it won't be no problem for you. If you're black, you're going to have some problems.
Because you were talking also about the lady. Did she, the lady earlier, when you were talking about the lady who had the problems with her kid, did they give her problems when she was pregnant also?
Well, I don't know if they gave her problems when she's pregnant, but I know her son is like about 3 or 4 years old now. So, you know, I only got involved in the case when, you know, they came to me and said that, hey, you know, she came to me and said, hey, was denying her FMLA, and she had a little son with all those disabilities. So, you know, we can let that happen, you know, because if they start attacking, you know, black mothers and their kids got disabilities, and if we start letting that go, then, hey, you know, we messed up as a race of people, we're going to let that go.
When you file for that, when you go under the family medical leave, that means like you're temporarily disabled, doesn't it?
It depends. Some people, you know, it depends on the condition. It could be a chronic condition that flares up, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, every once in a while, then only you disabled only when that condition flares up. Or it could be like a permanent injury where, you know, that person might have to be on light duty for the remainder of their postal career. But they still have FMLA for that condition.
Because I'm trying to read this one. It says initiation of disciplinary action for family medical leave related illnesses is a direct violation of family medical leave statute and the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. Do they ever really pay attention to that Rehabilitation Act? Does that ever play a part in any of the paperwork that you do, or does the employee go ahead and pay attention to that?
I'm telling you, well, you know, I told you what the thing is. I hate to keep reiterating the same thing, but it's that hate group that's operating up in there. They don't care, you know. Is, you know, they have a policy. They implemented it, been implementing it, you know, in all phases. Geared to black employees. But the only thing is that, you know, that these employees don't know, they need to start talking to each other more and more. If they just start talking to each other, they'll find out, hey, wait a minute, you've been disapproved. And that would lead them to say, hey, we got to file a class action, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got to file some type of class action for this type of, disability discrimination against us. Because if they were to talk to each other, they would know that, hey, this is a serious matter, and that they've been targeted.
You know, real quick, I want to know, what do you think it brings on that type of apathy? I mean, they just don't get involved. It's not happening to me, so I don't want to. I'm not going to rock the boat. What do you think brings that on?
What you just said, you know, some people, you know, as long as it ain't happening to them, they won't rock the boat. But it's happening to enough of them for them to get together and file a class action. I guarantee you that.
Mm-mm-mm. How do you encourage them? What would be your suggestions on encouraging them to go ahead and file that class action? Keep on going ahead and talking about it? Keep putting out these examples? What would you do?
Well, you know, they can do a number of things. You know, hey, they got...
What do you think you should do to go ahead and try to go ahead and get more people to recognize what's going on?
Well, you know, I got so many cases right now. I'm just trying to deal with the cases I got, you know. And, but, you know, some newsletters could be put out, you know, saying that certain people experience this, and if they're experiencing the same thing, they can have a contact number, or they can get a group together and see how many of them are, you know, if they got the internet, you know, you can post something and say, you know, hey, you know, I work at such and such government facility, experiencing FMLA disability discrimination. Are there any other black employees that are experiencing this? You know, hey, you know, call, you know. It's all about the information. It's to galvanize all the people together who are experiencing the same thing, because they'll get more done, they'll have more success filing their EEO, filing a class action if they were as an individual, as a whole more weight. Then by filing a class action, then, you know, you pretty much establish that there is a problem.
Yeah, I've seen some cases, and this isn't just isolated to the post office. I think the post office is pretty bad, but it's not just isolated to the post office. Actually, what I saw was almost all of the government agencies got some problem with family medical leave. And then the private industry, the private sector, they have problems. But it seems like there are more cases being filed with the against the government agencies. And I can't remember the one. I was trying to find it. I had a chart which was showing – And it wasn't actually, the post office wasn't the number one. They were like number two on how many cases were filed. When they did it, broke it down by how many employees and stuff. They got like a little formula. But the post office, like number two.
Who was number one?
And they were neck and neck, and they were pretty close. But this problem is across the nation. And I'm just not understanding why a lot of people are not standing up, because a lot of people are losing their jobs. And at this point in time, it's hard. You can't just lose your job and say, okay, well, I get another one. No, it's a lot of stuff that's being shut down right now. You know, you right up and down the street, a lot of people are losing their houses. You see a lot of for sale signs or those tags from the sheriff department on the doors. You know, a lot of those things are related to people losing their jobs, and I would like to know if percentage of those were people that lost their jobs due to like some health conditions or not being approved or being protected on a family medical leave. Like, it's a major problem. It's a major problem.
Well, you gotta look at it this way. You know, the economy is messed up. You know, and the way the government is looking at this thing is, listen, we're spending too much money on this family medical leave. You know, people get hurt on the job or people have a certain condition, and the more people they can get off family medical leave, the more money they're going to be saving.
You know, I've seen it where the Family Medical Leave Act was rewritten by some people from Dick Cheney's office and managers of big companies. They didn't have any union representation. They didn't have anybody from the ACL. What is ACL? ALCLU? I forgot it. But they didn't have any of these type of human rights or groups there. They didn't have anybody there. It was all did with management and Dick Cheney. And what I saw was a statement by Bush a few years ago, was they want to go ahead and do away with the frivolous lawsuits. Plus, they want to go ahead and talk to the federal judges to go ahead and deny a lot of cases like that. Have you experienced that, or have you seen something about that?
Well, I heard that type of talk before. You know, it's all about saving money. They want to put a cap on how much you can get on the lawsuit, basically. I think the cap was, I think I heard it was like $500,000. I ain't for sure.
$500,000?
They want to put a cap on how much you can get. How egregious the act was, you know, they want to put a cap on it.
So you're making 50-some grand a year. You're off the job for 2 years. You lose your house, your job, your medical bills build up. Let's say your house is $100,000, $200,000, you know, and plus the other inconveniences. I don't think that adds up to $500,000.
They don't care about that.
Mm.
But, you know, there's always going to be a lawyer somewhere to fight against that, because think about it. If a lawyer is representing you and they only can get $500,000, and no, they're not going to have that. So you're going to have lawyers all across the country fighting against that one.
Has any attorneys contacted you to work with you on this problem?
You know, we did. We was working with one attorney downtown. I wouldn't say we was working with him, but, you know.
Did he help?
Well, he claimed he's supposed to have these, you know, the cases in court. Well, trying to file them, he hasn't, you know, the one system I'm working with, he hasn't filed yet. So pretty much, we wanted to take an alternative route than go, you know, proceed with the EEO. So we said, okay, we're gonna let this system go ahead and file one.
But even still, I mean, like he hasn't helped to this point. I think it's time you need to find some new attorneys. And besides, you need to know a little bit more about that legal wrangling that these attorneys deal with. Somebody told me once before that if you want in some EEO cases or discrimination cases, you come out better going ahead and getting an out of town lawyer instead of somebody that's local.
That's what they say. You know, you come out better doing that. Yeah. Because due to the connections they might have or friendships might have been developed. But it's all still going to come down to economics.
Economics?
It's all about economics. You do these other things, it's all about economics. You know, you don't have to have all the receipts. You know, a lot of people, you're going to ask for $300,000. He only going to pay you for the harm that was caused you. Say, for instance, if you was off work for 5 months and then, you know, you win your EO, so hey, they want to know, okay, we're going to give you 5 months salary. Now,
that's only if you get to court.
If you get to court,
or if you win your EO, win your case.
5 months back pay. Now, if you ain't got no receipts from no psychiatrist or nobody like that saying that all the time you was out and, you know, you was mentally stressed out, or you ain't got no medication receipts saying that they actions caused you to be so stressed out that you had to take this medication and stuff like that, you ain't getting no punitive damages. It's all about the receipts and EEO. What can you prove to me? They don't really pay you for punitive damages. They only pay you for, you know, what can you prove to me that you lost, you know. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I just want to, you know, that's the lucky ones that actually get that far. It's just the thing that gets to me is getting to that point. You're denied and fired, and then it's even an uphill struggle. It's a terrible battle. You know,
yeah.
Getting to that point and all these violations, I got a bunch of them. I need to get them to you. I got a bunch of common violations, and I read some. I don't have that information, but I will have it next time we talk. Because you're going to do the show with me on Friday, right?
Yeah, I do it with you Friday, yeah.
So we're going to do this at 7 o'clock on Friday, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock Friday.
So I'm going to have that some of the actual cases of people that won, and then some other I'm going to read some of these cases because some of them are very, very disturbing, very, very disturbing, you know, and it's just like you were saying. It started usually with management disliking or having some personal issues with that employee, and then figuring out a way, then they go ahead and they'll go ahead and deal with that coordinator or the person dealing with the paperwork for family medical leave. They usually cook it up so they can get rid of them. I don't understand that kind of hate. I don't understand that kind of hate. But we only got like a few seconds left. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I think basically, you know, for this first segment, with me, we covered the things that I think we need to cover, five that you want to deal with, five the FMLA. Okay, that's
yeah.
This time. You want to look at this thing from a different perspective, then we probably can cover some more.
Yeah, we can. And I would like to get your partner here, too.
Oh,
get
yeah.
Anita on to go ahead, and I'd like to get her views and her thoughts. Would that
yeah.
be possible?
Very possible. On Monday with her, though.
On Monday with
Monday.
Her, and then I start on Monday at 7 o'clock with her.
Monday or Sunday with her.
Dude, Monday, I set up something on Monday with her because I really need to hear what she's got to say. Look here, thanks for calling in, Mr. Reed of the No Harassment Foundation. You don't have a website or anything like that, do you?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll work that out.
We'll work that out.
Yeah, but that's my show. Thanks for everybody for showing up. Thank you, Mr. Reed. And I hope to see you on Friday. That's been the Truth Chef Rob Show. Everybody have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rob.
Now, to understand the struggle, to understand pain and dues, and the pain of my people, your people, around the globe, you gotta feel me, it's in the music,
what you know about jobs and jobs and struggling hard and chasing dreams, what you know about having no car, rent being due and no blame made, what you know about sacrificing all your wants for all your needs, what you know about loving your child, just to find out that ain't your
my pain.
Dodging them cops to make ends meet. What you know about the lights being off, the gas being off, and no food to eat? What you know about Goodwill clothes, while your friends dress fly in junior high? What you know about Grandma's words when she said, one day, boy, you gon' shine? No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you know about earning your key, because you don't bend, break, or ask.